It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. Living our freedom in the land.
Good evening, everyone. And I'd like to welcome everyone, to the Republic Information Call for all free state governors and free state executive and judicial branch officials. And I'd like to ask Michael Brum from Wisconsin if you could open us up in prayer, please. Can you hear me? Did I catch you unawares, Michael? Okay, let's try someone else here. How about Governor Tony Smith? Could you open us up in prayer, please?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And said you didn't need it, and I was trying to cook at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. Holy Father, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. We pray for spiritual gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the spirit of discernment. Lord, fill our hearts with the energy, with whatever is needed to get us on the road, to keep us on the path. We thank you for bringing us for all the good things that's happened in our state and the good things yet to come. If for whatever happens tonight, may we be truly thankful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Governor Smith. Let's see. I guess we'll start off with Speaker Rockwell with updates. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to the call. Had our joint session with the Senate yesterday, and we had a few changes, so we only went over one document and got our questions answered. The document that we had questions about is a document that the Senate sent us about the election cycle for representatives and also for senators and for nationals. So we were able to discuss that, and just had a real short session with them last night to get our questions answered. And we actually had a short call last night as well, just because our documents got cut down a little bit. So that's pretty much it for what we did in Congress last night. And join us next Tuesday when we'll do it all over again. And I yield with that.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. Justice Smoke, you have the floor for updates, sir.
Yes, well, we've been having some pretty lively conversations on the judicial call. This coming week, I believe, Justice Waters is going to begin starting a complete study of Article 3 of the Constitution, line by line, trying to get the full meaning of that our original founding fathers had. So that ought to be really interesting, and they're always very informative. So with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Smoke. Senator LaRue, I understand, won't be with us this evening. Vice President Owen, do you have any updates for us? Let me unmute you here. Whoops.
I got it. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Senate just met with the the House last night, as the Speaker said, and went over a few questions and worked through a couple different housekeeping issues, and actually has invited former Senator Bob Barnett to come on to the call to report on some of the activities as far as recruiting and ambassador program, where those things stand, and I believe he'll be on next week as well. And then we're working, you know, as far as in the executive, we're working towards recruiting. And speaking of Bob Barnett, I did want to give a plug for tomorrow night. If you check your email, I think he's got a very exciting program. He has Richard Mack again, and Richard's been involved in some things, a number of things here recently. I think will be exciting information, and looking forward to hearing what Richard and Bob had to talk about tomorrow night. And I believe he also has a couple of other special guests that will be joining him. And we just continue to work on areas for recruiting and building our states. That's goal number one. We've got to get the states, and we've got to get the people. So I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The President will not join us this evening. Also, he's has something going about the same time as the call this evening. So hopefully we'll see him next week. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Governors Jimmy Horton and Dean Henning. Before I go to you, let me give a message to Lieutenant Governor James Carpenter. And I did unmute you, Mr. Carpenter. I did not receive that email. My email is b.owen with an S at republicoftheunitedstates.org. And as soon as I get that, we could talk about it, I suppose, but I didn't get it. So.
Yeah, I keep getting delivery failures on it. So I'll, and that's Republic 4, right?
Republic of.
Oh, Republic of. Okay. That's
yes.
I'll resend it right now. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, I yield to Governors Henning and Horton.
Good evening, Brenda. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, Governor Henning on?
I'm here, Governor. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda, and it's good to hear from the national government once again. Great to be on the call once again with all the governors. Well, there's a lot going on. You know, there's even this week we've seen as national government is busy spreading the word and making connections. And before I get too far away from the topic tonight about the Public News Network, there was a great idea just Brenda just had on getting the Public News Network out to the county sheriffs, especially the CSPOA sheriffs. So I would encourage the governor to get on the CSPOA website at cspoa.org and look up your state and any sheriffs that might be members of that organization. I'd encourage you to get their contact information and send them this the Public News Network media alert. So that would be great. And I was actually going to do that when Brenda Scott me. I was looking that up too. I think it's a great idea. I know Arkansas has got about 3 CSPOA sheriffs that's current with the organization, and that was a good time to reach out to those sheriffs. What do you think about that, Governor Henning?
I think that's a great idea, Governor Horton. We've supported the CSPOA with a newsletter here not too long ago. Earlier this year, we sent that out in support. And we sent it to every sheriff in our state in all 72 counties.
Excellent. Any other governors want to chime in on that before we move to something else?
Q&A session started.
Sorry. Anybody wants to come into the queue at *61? Go ahead.
Thank you, Brenda. No one wants to chime in on that. There was a something on my mind tonight, and I had a great discussion this afternoon with another governor about kind of following up on the president's press release concerning the militias, and it occurred to me that here we are in the interim government, and we're reaching out to militia groups, and I'm not sure, but I think that even they're even signing up with the Republic. And so I got to digging through my state constitution, looking up the militia, and of course we all know militias are under the civil government in your states. If you haven't refreshed yourself on the information in your constitution about militia, I'd recommend you do so. So, because I was thinking that, you know, what if all of a sudden the militia groups organized and recognized our reinhabitation of the Constitutional Republic, then they would have a civil authority. And if that would be, it would be to me a welcome sight. It would also be a very sobering arrangement with the militia groups, you know, if they were looking for authority to act and under the Constitution, you know, and I think it's something that, you know, we governors need to consider. We're going to reach out to these groups and what we're going to do if they do show up. And I know myself, we were having a discussion this evening, Governor Henning, and how would I handle, you know, and how would you, Governor, how would you handle it if the militia group called up and said, we recognize you, we support you, we come under your authority? And how would you handle that?
Well, first of all, I would want to sit down with that group along with other elected officers in our state and make sure that they're not part of the unlawful, anarchistic type militia. They want to make sure they're following the Constitution, that we're honoring our Father Jesus in the same manner, at least following the Constitution, the biblical law form of the Bible. And I guess one of my first orders would be, is if they were on the right page with us, is to let's get a plan together and let's move out together and get all the people together. Because until the people are standing and we have a permanent election, there really isn't much authority that we have with the militia. I mean, we can't order them to go out and start a revolution. That would be the worst thing we'd want to see in our state and across the country, of course. So I guess it would be very important that we all work together to help establish the people in our state.
Excellent. Anyone else out there got any thoughts on this? How would you out there in the states deal with a sudden influx of militia members looking for a civil government to follow? It's not far-fetched the way the current administration is getting more and more repressive on the people, and it could happen overnight. You know, we're only one major endorsement away from recognition. And once that happens, then we're talking about some, you know, issues that we'll have to deal with as governors. So anyone else have any thoughts? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill here? Or is this a real a possibility out there? I hope the other governors haven't passed out on, you know, things.
We do have Governor Smith in the queue.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I completely support that doing things, just that very thing. Because if we don't have any sort of enforcement of any other type, this is all we have to fall back on for now. Yes, there will be, I predict, a bit of pushing and shoving back and forth before the changeover happens. And we need to have something in place to protect ourselves, if nothing else. We've been talking off and on here in this state about that very thing for some time. So if anyone has any information on what would be probably the best way of getting a hold of those type of groups, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is Governor from Oklahoma on tonight?
She is. I do have someone else in the queue.
Go ahead.
I can get my computer running a little slow here. Hold on. There we go. Lieutenant Governor James Carpenter. Go ahead, sir.
Brenda, did you get my email?
I did, and I was just going to tell you that, and I dropped it in Governor Horton's Skype box.
Okay. I've got it pulled up now, Brenda.
Okay.
I'll go on to a different topic. The question on the table, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, is if, as governors of our respective states, we had an influx of militia, how would we react to that? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. How would you facilitate and to integrate, you know, an active, motivated militia into your state in an interim government capacity?
Well, common sense has to prevail here in my world. First off, they would need to support the Republic officially so that they recognize the authority of and the rule of law, if you will, and agree to submit to that. And if that is, if they were willing to do that and have meetings and agree that this is strictly by the book and that there's no acting out or doing anything illegal, and you know, then that goes back on the leadership, you know, the governors, and it's to take control of that. And I think that we're not far away from seeing those very type of things happen. I know I've planted a lot of seeds in that area. Thank you. I yield.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
Was there anyone else, Brenda, in the queue?
No, not at this moment,
okay.
But we do have Governor McLaughlin from Oklahoma on the call.
Okay, thank you. I know we're moving real along here, and I want to get to Ms. Carpenter's email here in this banking system. I'm sure he has some really good points he needs to make. I'll just make one point, and Governor Henning would like to make a point, and it occurred to me that the militias could help us build our states, and they would have to, if they did oath to the Constitution, they would have to realize we're interim, and they would have to help build a civil government they would be subjected to. So they could be utilized in that way, and if they want to, you know, get out and dig a foxhole, they're going to have to get a help build a government to stand behind them. So I would welcome that for sure. I yield.
Thank you, Governor Horton. My last point on this, too, would be definitely I want to echo it's about getting the people to stand up, so that would probably be one of the first orders to sit with the militia and help establish more people in the states. And we got to stress it's nonviolent at this point. You know, I'm praying that this is all going to be done with peace and love and nonviolence, and we'll just hopefully have the Republic restored and standing under common law instead of the color of law. I yield.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, Lieutenant Governor Carpenter, this looks interesting. Would you like to comment on what you've sent here?
Yes, thank you. I received some information today that I took it upon myself to vet, and I ended up at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York's website. As you look at the link that I sent Brenda, as she passed it on, you'll see that that's true. And this this email is an agenda, or as it's labeled, a program for their October 6 through 10, 2014 meeting. And for the benefit of those that don't have this, I'd like to read a few things from this. It starts out, the heading is Transition of U.S. Monetary Policy Stance. As the U.S. economy moves towards a sustaining recovery path, the Federal Reserve is publicly discussing its exit process. That took my breath away. Like, what does this mean? And it goes on to say that during this transition, the economies across the globe will be in different stages of recovery and subject to divergent monetary policies. Seminar participants will compare and contrast economic developments and monetary policy stances across the major regions, assessing implications for growth and financial stability, and address challenges and risks going forward. And then it goes on and gives the agenda over a four-day period. It all seems to add up in my line of thinking, in my humble opinion, that this is exactly as the first sentence stated. They are getting ready to publicly discuss their exit process. I yield. Thank you.
Governor Carpenter, would you mind reading those main headings, subheadings?
Sure.
You know, I can read all of it, just the main headings.
Sure. Day one is the introduction, a welcome and seminar overview. The second part is a Federal Reserve System overview. Day two is transition from an accommodative monetary policy. And the monetary policy transition mechanism and the effects of transition on the money markets, risk management, and something I found telling in its own right, communicating with the public. Huh? Have they ever done that that I know of? Current global conditions and impact of U.S. transition on day three, advanced economics, emerging markets one, and emerging markets two. Day four is financial stability, integrating policy and analysis, intersection of monetary and regulatory policies. Basel III, capital and liquidity frameworks, banking sector resilience, recovery, and resolution. And these are made up of panels of the most exclusive people in the world financial system. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just looking over some of these panelists. And they're from Indonesia, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, England, Mexico, France, China. This is a big deal.
This is a huge deal.
I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. This is very very interesting.
The implications of what is there ought to make your socks roll up and down.
Well, it really does. You know, we were reported, I think it was reported last week that the 16th, I think this comes from
Turner,
yes, that the 16th of October, right, was a deadline for a treaty. Is that correct? Is that what I understood? Or their charter or treaty or whatever ran out officially?
Yeah, the authority ran out, yeah.
Authority ran out. So this is just a few days before that. They will be having this seminar. It's interesting. Very interesting.
Lieutenant Carpenter, what date again? I missed that.
The 10th, or the 6th through the 10th of next month.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's good news.
I hope so. I wonder what's going to replace it. That's the question. So,
how openly of a comment would you like for me to make?
Hey, whatever's on your heart, brother.
Well, you know what, friends? There's only truth, and then there's darkness. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And you may not agree with me, but it's not your life, and it's not your truth. I can only tell you what's happened to me. Fair enough?
Yeah.
I found out about this Valentine's Day, 2010. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I started vetting. My first confirmation came back from a former operative that went to his buddies at the bar, and he said I was involved in a covert military op that had a military factionist element to it, and they were concerned that that element could pose a problem to their military op. And I was encouraged to hightail it and run. And I had shared it with another close friend, and this was after the governors were served in March. This was the 1st of June, because my friend told me, he said, my niece and her husband came through on her honeymoon, and he is a muckety-muck, and for his sake, I will not tell you, but it would blow your hair off. And when I asked him about Nasara, he said, that is sealed classified information. I don't know how you know about it, but I can't discuss it. And that in itself was confirmation that it did exist. And it existed through Nasara. I do believe that in the beginning, that RAP was this covert military op. I've had other conversations with people that have a history of that period, and some have told me the same thing. I think that what has happened, and I'm going to give you my opinion here, is that the military op failed, and they expected the Republic to fail, but instead not everybody wanted to give up the cause. And that we have held firm, and Nasara and President Turner have always dictated and told us that when we were ready, that the support mechanism would be there, the enforcement mechanism would be there. And I see that happening in droves this year. And that's my observation. I also understand Nasara, because during the spring of 2010, a friend of mine, a business associate that I had had dealings with for a period of time, said something to me, and I responded, and we later had a conversation. And he revealed to me over a period of conversations that he was one of the executors of one of the humanitarian trusts of Nisara. And so he has explained a lot to me about Nisara. If I can piece it together for you, Nisara is the court-ordered mandate to the Joint Chiefs to accomplish a task, which is to expose and make the truth known, and to restore the Constitutional Republic. And that is their mandate. And the rest of the world wants to go to a Basel III and commodity-backed standard. And they got the giant on the block. And as long as the giant's here, they can't accomplish what they need to get accomplished. And that is an asset-backed fair currency system. And they look to the U.S. and its constitutional republic and its protections and its freedoms to be the cornerstone of this new world economic system. Think about what I just said. I yield.
Thank you. I think we got just a smoke in the on the line.
Pete, yes, can you hear me, Governor Horton?
Yeah, just smoke. Have you got a couple cents to add to this conversation?
I think it would be very interesting if you would allow me to repeat something that President Turner told me several years ago. December 2010, I met him and had a personal conversation with him in Chicago, and he was telling us how that the Federal Reserve was insured by individuals in the country of China. The Chinese, though, however, never allowed the Federal Reserve to take physical possession of the gold, and that might very well explain why Japan in World War II was so dead set on ravaging China. They were probably looking for the stockpiles of gold. Japan covered about a third of China at one time during World War II. If they could have found the gold that was backing the Federal Reserve, they could have collapsed the dollar and destroyed America's ability to fight in the war. Nevertheless, President Turner told me that at the end of 2010, the individuals responsible told the Federal Reserve that their franchise was running out and they would no longer back the Federal Reserve. And I've looked and noticed and had several people looking. I have never, ever, ever seen a new bill dated past 2010. If you have a brand new $100 bill that looks like Monopoly money, look at it. The date will be 2010. I have got people all over the country looking and searching this out, and I don't know, I might have even mentioned this before on a call. If I have, forgive me for repeating myself, but you can get a brand new stack of $20 bills from the bank. They're so new and crisp, they're sticking together, and they'll have a date of like 08 or 09 or 06. I have never seen a bill dated past 2010. And, of course, you know, a 6 or 8 year old bill is not going to be crisp and clean. The point is that leads me to believe that President Turner was right. He did know what he was saying. He did have sound information. I do believe that the franchise ran out in 2010. And what has just been happening is that they have been printing new bills and backdating them. And, of course, whenever you ask them or anybody says anything, it's, oh, well, we were working on these bills in 2010. And so that's why we are dating them, because that's when we were working on the design. But that has never happened before, to my knowledge. Brand new bills that are coming into circulation that are backdated 4 years, and it's, according to President Turner, it's because the franchise on the Federal Reserve ran out in 2010. So that's something to think about. If anybody finds one printed past then, I would like to know. Thank you very much, and I yield.
Thank you, Jeff Smoke. What about coins? Are they keeping those?
Well, no, coins are they're dated with a recent date. Of course, gold and silver coin is mentioned in the Constitution. The Federal Reserve note is not. And think it over. What is a note? A note is a promise to pay. As a matter of fact, we have the de facto has federal law, federal court decisions where they have said that a payment with Federal Reserve notes is not a payment at all, but it's a promise to pay. Whenever you take a loan at the bank, what do? You sign a note, and that's all that is. So from what I have noticed, yes, the coins are dated correctly, but the Federal Reserve notes are not. They are all backdated to 2010. I have not seen one, and if I am incorrect, anyone finds one that is, please let me know. But I've got several people looking, and no one has ever said that they have seen one. Even bank tellers, you point that out to a bank teller, and we did that, and she goes to the other guy, and he said, you know, and it's like, so, big deal, what is it? Well, it appears to be fraudulent, I've never seen one dated past 2010. I yield.
Okay. Thank you, Justice Mo. Since you're a coin or money buff, I don't know if this means anything, but about a week and a half ago, my son went to a convention in Kansas City, and he put in a $20 bill in a parking garage machine for a $2 parking fee. He got in return 18 Sacagawea dollars in the coin return. And that was really weird, and he didn't know what they were. And there was an old guy about my age knew what they were, and he's a friend of his, and he told him on Facebook what they were. So I can't remember when Sacagawea dollars were printed or in circulation, but they were sure in that machine.
Well, it was probably because a coin-operated machine would probably be cheaper to purchase and more reliable in its performance than a bill-operated machine. People all the time, cheat bill machines. That's why I would say, and two, it might be the only way that they could get rid of them dang worthless coins. I mean, nobody ever wanted them. They never wanted them when they came out. So, but that's what I would say. I would say that there's no, underlying deep monetary meaning behind that. I would say that that's just simply because it was it would be more reliable to have a machine that dispensed dollar coins than one that was with paper money. That's what I would think. I yield.
Okay. Governor Haney.
I want to thank Justice Mulk for coming on the call. That was very enlightening and informative. I do appreciate that insight. I did happen to have a new $100 bill, and it was dated 2009. But that's all I have. Thank you.
When I was in Oklahoma, President Turner told me he expected gold, when I guess all this transition took place, to go down to $50. Okay, got someone else in the queue, Brenda?
Yes. I believe this might be Greg Allen.
True.
Just hi there.
Just want to reaffirm the year on the $100 on the Benjamins, 2009. I have not seen any 2010s. And if you're a studier of the paper and the artistry and the stuff in there and go over it with a fine-tooth comb, the 2009 Benjamins are very educational. I yield the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Good to hear your voice.
Are those the ones you fold up and see the Twin Towers? Maybe.
I think those are the 20s, aren't they?
Oh, the, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the 20s, I believe you fold and see the Twin Towers.
I got you. Okay.
And if I might add, if you don't mind, President Turner was telling us that the financial value has already been established. Platinum was to be $100 an ounce, gold was to be $50 an ounce, and silver was to be worldwide at $10 an ounce. So, and again, take it for what it's worth, he was saying that that is what the entire world system will be based on. They have already established the value of these metals. And this is only going to be an intermediate stage, because ultimately the currencies will be based on a country's renewable resource assets. The wealth of your nation and the amount of money that you could print or have in circulation would be directly commensurate to renewable resources, timber, crops, cattle, agriculture, fishing, and so that would really be the ultimate. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. I yield.
Thank you, Genesis Moke. Were you there when they were researching the ARD values? I think that was one of the most fascinating studies I had seen, where it was like almost 30 to 1.
Yes, sir. And again, as a matter of fact, we talked about this on the Justice Call. The dollar is a quantity of silver. And this is right off the top of my head, but whenever they made the dollar, they went out and they took an average of several coins that were in circulation. And it was something like, and don't hold me to this, 0.76 ounces or whatever. And at that time, the price of silver for you to obtain 0.78 ounces of silver, it would take 38 Federal Reserve notes. So they were assessing that as a 38 to 1, because they were going strictly back to the Constitution, and the dollar originally, like I said, it was like an ounce or a pound, okay? An ounce or a pound or a ton, it doesn't change its quantitative value because of inflation, okay? It's a weight, and that's really what a dollar was. It was a percent of an ounce of silver, and back at that time that Congress did that work, they said, well, at this rate of silver today, it was going to take 38 paper Federal Reserve notes to buy the quantity of silver that made up the weight of a dollar that the Constitution, or that our founding fathers arrived at. I hope I explained that and it wasn't too confusing.
Thank you. And I'm sure they were probably, it was like a world standard at the time. You know, they were dealing with France and England and Spain and Europe, and pretty much a standard. So I appreciate that. Brenda, we got someone else in the queue?
Yes, we have Greg back in the queue.
Yeah, Gregory Allen Johnson with the Washington Encyclopedia. The foldable 9/11 revelation notes that was mentioned earlier are the 50s, the 20s, and the 10s. There's a guy online that is in faith like we are, and Lord has showed him how to fold them, and he has a YouTube video that I saw last year on that, which I found rather fascinating. It took me a while to figure it out after I watched him do it, and he just flips right through it, so I have to watch it a few times. But the 50s, 20s, and 10s are the ones they use on that situation. And I think the old 100s may be involved in that, but I'm not positive. But not the new ones, not the 2009 editions. I yield the floor.
Thank you very much. Okay. Governor Henning, got any last comments before we move into the building states call?
Thank you, Governor Horton. No, I don't at this time. I want to thank everybody to be on that's on the call this evening. God bless you all.
Very good. All right. Brenda, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. Thank you, Governor Horton.